Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, did we do it? Yes, we're back to another week. It's Monday. Thank you so much for being here on WTIC. It is, of course, horrible what's going on in this country. Stunning moment in American history and a long time coming because of the political stasis that we have, a breakdown of political responsiveness. This is the thing that's been driving us into a state of angst over the last several years. The fact that the government no longer is a democratic government. It does not respond to inputs from the people. This is because of system rigging. That's why what Bernie Sanders had to say a few years ago, when he just introduced that word and said the system is rigged, that's why he took off, I think. That concept resonates without us even realizing why it resonates so much. But the fact is that power is locked in place. Behind the scenes, invisibly, it has been frozen so that you set, you know, it's like a train's going down the track and it's supposed to go straight. But somebody has pulled on that lever that shifts the track so the train moves on to another track in another direction. And nobody can figure out why it's going that way because they don't see the switch. They don't see that it's been moved. And now we've got thousands of these things. So think about all the things that are rigged. Just think about it in the state of Connecticut. Why having one party rule has destroyed the state financially and ruined the ability of there to be responsiveness. Urban voters get a whole different set. Well, urban politics, it gets a whole different set of treatment. It gets it's like there's two Americas. There's the old-fashioned America based on the Constitution, and there's this socialist America in urban areas where the Democrats have set up shop and rigged the political system so that they get a lot of money because they represent the poor neighborhoods, but that money doesn't make it to the poor people. Why would the poor people not be frustrated? And why would they not be frustrated that their lack of having an effective government manifests itself also in violence that they perceive as being disproportionately targeting them? We've got a lot of issues to figure out in this country. It's horrible what's going on. It had to happen. I wish it had happened sooner so we could have resolved this. But it had to happen. We have to go through this. And we have to try to have an honest conversation instead of a dishonest one. And the cranks are out there trying to shift the conversation somewhere where it doesn't belong. So we're going to talk about that this hour. Ned's got the second hour. He's got a press conference today. We'll be playing it live. I've been very spontaneous. I've got someone here to come on the air simply because he appeared a few minutes ago in front of me. I've never spoken to him. I don't know him. But I kind of like that. I like just taking a shot. I do. And we will just put him on and let him introduce himself, and we'll be off and running with today's show. Love to hear from you. We've got our rant line, 860-751-4698. If you'd like to record some commentary that we can play whenever we like, feel free, 751-4698. Al Cortez is joining us now on WTIC. Now, you're a pretty spontaneous guy, Al. I like that. You just jumped in. You didn't even know what you're getting yourself into, but you're a Republican, and you're running for state rep in West Hartford, correct?
Yes. There are Republicans in West Hartford. You know, I am one of the few, but yes.
All right. Well, you were interested in discussing this issue, and I'm just looking for new voices. So what's your perspective on what's going on right now in America and in Connecticut?
So my perspective is that I lived it. You know, I grew up in I grew up in Hartford. Grew up in some of the projects in Hartford. So I've dealt with a lot of this stuff. You know, back in the 90s. You know, I've dealt with the racial profiling. I had a couple incidents. With officers that, were pretty scary. You know, I was assaulted by an officer one time when I was very young.
How young? What do you mean?
So I was 12 years old. So preteen, hanging out at my cousin's house. There was a raid that happened, down in the building, and everything escalated mm-hmm. into my cousin's apartment because the drug dealers, as they were running away from the police officers, ended up running into the apartment. The drug dealers ran out the back door. Cops grabbed me, grabbed my cousin, and just started pounding on us. We didn't know what was going on. There was no, they didn't identify themselves. So it was pretty scary at that age, And then,
what do you mean? You didn't, they were undercover cops? You didn't know they were police?
Correct. They're undercover cops. I just see a group of people just running the house, didn't know who was running in there, between the drug dealers that I didn't know, the officers coming in with them. So it was, something that was pretty traumatic and, that I put in the back of my mind,
okay.
Completely forgot about it. And this just kind of brought those memories.
But you've got personal experience. So tell us with that personal experience and do you view yourself as having some minority status?
Yes. So my parents are, were born in Puerto Rico. So I was, I was born in Hartford. I was born and raised in Hartford to Puerto Rican parents. Okay. So I've dealt with that piece. And it would be easy to sit there and hold anger towards, law enforcement. But instead, what I decided to do was be more involved in the community because of issues like that. Because it's, to me, it's more than being Puerto Rican. It's more than being raised in
Well, okay, so when you look at George Floyd and what happened to him, how do you reconcile that? What category do you put it in so that it fits into a logical look at America today?
Enough is enough, that's something that shouldn't have taken place. I worked for Department of Corrections for over 20 years. I retired from Department of Corrections. I've had a little military background also. And we train for stuff like this all the time. We train that, when things don't go right, you constantly reassess to make sure you're doing the right thing. And there's a lot on that image that they show all over the place that says that, he wasn't reassessing. The officer wasn't reassessing. And we can.
Well, hang on a second. But this is we're talking to Al Cortez. He's a Republican running for state rep in West Hartford. What we see when we look at this video is not a one-off situation. We see something we've seen a lot of videos like this. But more importantly to me, what happened here is not really about George Floyd or about the officer with the knee on the neck, which of course it is, that's where it starts out. But the larger picture to me is those other cops standing around not doing anything. What that says to me is there is a system here that is rigged in such a manner to allow those who are the only ones in America really who have the power to use force against anyone they please. And being able to violate our rights with physical force, that they seem not the least bit concerned while one of their partners is murdering somebody in broad daylight with video cameras running and people watching. How is it possible that they don't feel the least bit threatened by the political process?
And that is very, very disturbing, and that's what kind of, that's what kind of got my blood boiling over the weekend, just watching that. So we train all the time, so in corrections, we train all the time to make sure something like that doesn't happen. If your partner gets caught up in a moment, it is your duty to intervene, to step in there, tap them on the shoulder, do whatever you have to do in order to intervene, not to sit back.
But apparently they're afraid to.
Yes. And that happens also, because in some.
Why would they be afraid to?
It's a retaliation within the job, and things like
that. How can there be retaliation within the job? What that means is, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I want to hone in on this point. What that means is that the power lies not in those who want to do things the right way, whether that, if there is anybody in the infrastructure who wants to do it the right way, Right. Assuming the chief of police wants to do it the right way, assuming the police commissioner wants to do it the right way, assuming the mayor wants it done the right way. You've got a whole chain of command down from the governor's office or whatever it is that in Minnesota, however it works. You've got a whole chain of command that presumably doesn't want business done this way. And yet we know it's not just one cop doing the wrong thing. We can look there and we see how the system behaves. And the system behaves in such a way that it thinks murder is fine.
Absolutely. And that's very disturbing, you know. So, you know, but like you said, you know, you have the chain, you know, so you got a chain of command. And it's just you get some officers that don't have the courage to break from the ranks, you know. And sometimes you have to, you know, you can't watch a human being be murdered. And the fact that three other officers allow this to happen in America is very disturbing and enough.
But it's not surprising, is it, Al?
No, and that's the problem, you know, and that's why I feel like for me, I have to sit there and say something because it's not surprising. You know, I had memories from years ago where, you know, I experienced this, you know, I try to dig in there and get involved and do
it. All right, excuse me, Al. I'm just going to interrupt you again. I'm sorry to be so interruptive, but I want to move this along quickly so we can make progress. We're just going to take a quick break. We're talking to Al Cortez. We'll wrap up with him and take phone calls coming up on WTIC. WTIC, thanks for tuning in. Phone calls coming up in a minute. Let's just wrap up with Al Cortez, a Republican running for state rep in West Hartford, who says he's got this kind of urban lifestyle in his background as a young person. So bring this around to someplace that makes sense for people. How should the average person look at what's going on? Where do you see the failure as being?
You know, the failure is just ignoring it and making believe things, you know, everything's going to be okay tomorrow, and wanting to do something but not doing something. I think we have the world's attention right now. So right now is the opportunity is how do we make this right? How do we move forward as a community? We need to get together and start building, you know, not breaking things down.
How do we do that?
And it's just leadership, having the right leadership and not being afraid to stand up, not being, you know.
Do you see any right leadership anywhere?
Right now in Connecticut, it looks like we continue to be looking to what other people are doing and not doing our own thing. And I think that's what we need. We need leadership in this state to set us in the right direction. Some of the people we have involved been in for a long time, and I think we need fresh ideas. You know, we need new blood. We need young people to get involved. You know, the millennials are a huge bunch. You know, we need millennials to start getting involved and wanting to do more, not feeling intimidated with what's going on. You know, we can't just sit back and watch things happen. You know, we need to do more.
All right, Al, you have a website for people to check out?
So it is AlCortez2020.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Al Cortez for Connecticut State Rep. Follow me there. I respond to all emails. So feel free to reach out.
How do you spell Cortez?
Cortes.
Okay. AlCortez2020.com. Is that what the website is?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for being spontaneous. I'm looking for voices. If you know any good voices, I really want to have some serious conversations. I want to engage the region, maybe the state, in conversations. I want to find some wonderful, imaginative thinkers to talk about what's going on. 860-522-9842. Let's go to Isaac. Hello, Isaac. You're on WTIC.
How you doing? I'm over here.
Go right ahead, Isaac. You're on the air.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, what I got to say is there needs to be some type of electoral college system used in the way that we elect governors of states, because the rural towns and areas, those voters they basically get screwed. And, Ned Lamont was voted in by all the, urban cities in Connecticut, you know, Hartford, Waterbury, New Haven.
But how do you see the system itself as providing the inequity? Isn't the problem that the Democrats are importing voters from other countries and trying to
stack them in the urban areas. See, if there was an electoral college system type system on the state level, then it would equal out the municipalities, and it would. That's what the electoral college system does.
Well, it might. It would depend on how it's structured, and there's no reason to think it would be structured properly since Democrats run everything in the state currently. But I like that you're conscious of that structural problem and want to fix it. I'm with you on that. Thank you for the call, Isaac. Bob in Simsbury. Hi. Yes, Bob. All right, Bob. We'll try Jim in Windsor. Hi, Jim. Yes, Jim. What is going on here? Somebody talk to me. You know how this
doing?
Works, Jim. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry I had a mental lapse there. What I want to say is, you know, I remember calling up talk shows, I mean, as far back as Rodney King. And how these things happen is because they allow police, I don't know how many times, to have a charge of misuse, you know, of their conduct, and they accumulate. And I remember, I can't tell you what town, right here in Connecticut, a police chief fired a policeman for several indiscretions. And he went to binding arbitration, and they overruled it. They suspended him for a few months, and then he got back pay, maybe.
Well, of course they do, but that's the rigging of the system that I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. We got it. You know, it's not the same, but culturally, we got it. The public has got to say there's got to be a zero tolerance for this. You can't have 12, 14. You get one mistake. You go to training, and then if it happens again, you're fired.
But see, it's not about the rules. I mean, I think your sentiment is correct, but it's not about the rules because right now the system is just a system designed to cheat the people out of their rightful representation and to deny them the right to have a system that works for them. So this is just like schools. You can't have good schools because there are unions. And the Democrats care more about the unions than they care about regular people who live in their jurisdictions. You can't fix police departments for the same reason, because police chiefs give up. They don't even bother trying to control or fight bad cops, because you've got a rigged system where you've got this third party. This is why it's abhorrent that there are government unions, that there are unions for government workers. I don't know how anything could be more obvious that is an illicit system that is destructive. It's destroyed the state of Connecticut financially. Bob in Simsbury, you going to talk to me?
Yes, I certainly am.
Go ahead,
what
sir.
What I'm calling about is that if you run on a ticket where people are howling they want reform like yourself, but if you run on a ticket that's other than Republican or Democratic, you're never going to make it, my friend. And the reason for it is this.
But so what?
The fact that the Secretary of State, the whole system is rigged against it.
Yeah, well, that's true. All right, I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't realize it had gotten so late, but I've got to get to our bottom of the hour news. Stay with us on WTIC. Thanks so much for being here. I want to get to the heart of what's going on here. Looking for some interesting ideas, some new ideas, maybe some new callers too, to pipe in with something we haven't heard before. Bob in Simsbury, you're running for state rep?
Yes. I'm running as an independent, unaffiliated, and I just wanted to more or less add a few remarks in your talk about the system being rigged. If you're not a Republican or a Democrat, you don't have a chance in the world of being elected. It starts with signatures, and then you have to submit them to the Secretary of State, and then you get your license to run, your permission to run from the Secretary of State. And then after that, you have to go out and get the signatures, and then you're harassed by the ringers. By ringers, I mean the Democrats or Republicans that have a lot to lose if you get that seat. So they start to harangue you. And after you get the signatures, then you have to bring it in, and then you go through the harangue with the either a Democratic registrar or a Republican registrar. And then after that, they present it to the town clerk. And it's one hurdle after another hurdle after another hurdle. And I just want to
And the parties, the parties have infrastructure in place to expedite the candidates they want to get in to be able to get through that process. What do you have running as an independent?
What do I have running as an independent? That I'm running
to help you with the process that you just described.
I need people to call their the Secretary of State and demand that I get equal treatment, such as Lamont, the governor, is moving the Democratic caucuses around. He's moving the Democratic candidates around. He doesn't have permission from the legislature to do this, but he's doing it. But if
well, he's the king right now.
I'm told you can't do it. But when the party does it, it's all right. Everybody looks the other way. And that's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying, people want to change. They want new parties. They want new thinking.
Yeah.
But the system is rigged.
Of course it is. Yes. Everything around power is rigged.
I haven't heard one word from the opposition, the loyal opposition, we call them, whether it's Republican, whoever. I haven't heard one word from people
speaking
out and saying a dictatorship is wrong. If you want them, if you want to do something, you have to come to the legislature and get the approval.
You're right, Bob. There is no, even amongst those who hold those elected positions, state reps and state senators in the General Assembly, the legislators are quiet. You are correct. John and Meriden, hi.
Hello, sir. Great show as always. And I'm wondering why the governor was wearing a T-shirt that I cannot breathe. This is not to be politicized. It's wrong for him to do that.
But it's a political T-shirt. He's wearing it so he can align himself with that political movement.
And it's wrong. What happened
to
that officer who killed that man is wrong.
Yes. No, that's a good point, John. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something I want to talk about. What John is referring to is a video that the governor's office posted, the governor shot yesterday, that's just appalling for what it demonstrates in terms of buying into doing everything wrong in order to gain power. In other words, the governor's basically saying to you, I want to game you on all this violence that's taking place and all these protests and the murder of George Floyd. I want to play that. I want to play into my advantage as a Democrat, because Democrats represent urban voters. And I want to try to trick those urban voters into thinking I care about them and that I pursue policy on their behalf. Listen to what he has to say on this. It's just stunning.
Yet again, we're shocked by the video of a black man being killed, in this case, George Floyd, at the hands of a police officer in Minneapolis.
Okay, that's only 10 seconds of it, and it doesn't go on for that long. But already, what he's suggesting is that he's been appalled routinely through the years. As a rich white guy from Greenwich, he's been appalled for years over how blacks get mistreated. I would ask him and any of his supporters to put forth a demonstration of the history of Ned Lamont being appalled by police violence against minorities and what actions he's taken and what success he's had.
Yet again, we're shocked by the video of a black man being killed, in this case, George Floyd, at the hands of a police officer in Minneapolis.
Ask him for the history of his fighting back against the pattern of behavior that George Floyd succumbed to.
I was particularly shocked that nobody tried to stop it, that nobody yelled, stop, enough.
Who would do that? You sitting on your lounge chair in the mansion? Who would stop it? That would take leadership from people in positions of power. You're in a position of power, Ned. Where is your leadership? What have you done since you became governor to make sure that in this long pattern of these kinds of videos and this kind of behavior, that it wouldn't happen under your watch?
I was particularly shocked that nobody tried to stop it.
Who would try to stop it if you don't try to stop it? For you, whom it would be easiest. Tell us what you have done, Ned, in your hour press conference that will begin in 20 minutes.
Here we are a week later, and there are demonstrations across the country. I was particularly moved by...
What about the... That's it? That's all you've got to say about the demonstrations around the country? Is that there are demonstrations around the country?
I was particularly moved by comments of our police chief from Bridgeport, who said, I would have been out there demonstrating as well.
All right, he's doing a little, trying to put his arm around the police chief from Bridgeport for whatever reason. Maybe it's because the city councilman, Alfredo Castillo from Bridgeport, was on last week saying Ned doesn't care about Bridgeport. Maybe that's why he's throwing that little dinger in there for you.
But I was busy keeping the peace, which they pretty successfully did, and for which I'm very thankful.
That's still quoting the police chief. He's not saying he was keeping the peace.
Today is Sunday, a day of reflection.
All right, here's the most appalling. Now, Ned's shooting this thing. It's a tight shot on him, shoulders up. You can tell he's wearing a black T-shirt, which is kind of weird. And at this moment, as he says this, the camera pans back, and you can see what's written on the T-shirt.
Today is Sunday, a day of reflection. Tomorrow's Monday. We get up and fight for justice all over again.
Today? That's today. He shot this yesterday. Today, Ned is fighting for justice all over again, just like he's done every other day in his life. Can you believe it? And the T-shirt says, camera pans back and it says, I can't breathe. Please go to my Facebook page, toddtalk.com. Type in toddtalk.com. And it's posted there for you to watch if you haven't seen it, toddtalk.com. It's just stunning for the political maliciousness that these folks will try to kidnap any kind of energy that they can kidnap to turn to their advantage, no matter how illicit the attempt is. Kyle and Goshen. Hi, Kyle.
Hi. Yeah, so I pretty much was kind of for this protesting and all of that. And then I woke up this morning and saw all these just crazy, horrific videos. And now I'm just supporting the cops even more. Like, I saw a video of small mob riot in front of this private business place. And the wife walks out trying to, like, talk sense. And then this guy just comes up, punches her, and then her husband comes out. They take 2x4s, start bashing her, him. And then you got this other video of this Italian business that they're guarding, like the mob's outside. You see this guy walking by with a 2x4. I don't know why these 2x4s are a trend, but... Yeah, these Italian people, they f***ing come out like it's like the 50s or something with shotguns guarding.
Mike, hopefully you caught that. 860-522-9842. Hopefully you caught that one. All right, let's go to John next. Hello, John. You're on WTIC.
Hey, Todd. How are you? So in regards to Lamont politicizing this, I agree, and it's awful. But you know what? As a lifelong Republican who voted for Trump, he's doing the same exact thing, and it's not helping. By him coming out,
I'm not averse to attacking Trump, but just explain how he's politicizing this, because I haven't paid that
right
much.
Now, good. By him coming out right
no, that's
now
right. Go
and
ahead.
Saying the Democratic governors are all weak, all of these cities are democratically controlled. This is what you get. That's wrong, because that's not going to do anything to stop the violence tonight or tomorrow.
Well,
or
wait. Hang on a second, though. It's my hypothesis that the reason we have this problem ongoing is because the Democrats have rigged politics in the cities so that the voice of the people doesn't get any response. It has no say over the political system, because every time there's one of these videos, there's outrage. The Democrats do all their pandering like Jolly Ned is doing right now, and nothing changes. Why does nothing change? Because they've got all the power. The power is rigged. What do they care? Why shouldn't the president point that out?
I agree with you, Todd, but there's a time and a place to talk about those issues. I mean, if he's coming out tonight or today and saying the Democrats are all weak, does he really think right now he's going to change anyone from the Democratic base by saying that today? You can have those conversations, but now is not the right time, because all he's doing is inciting more people to get angry. And I'm not the only Republican who thinks this.
No, I know, but a lot of that conversation, I think, is driven by a media that's completely one-sided. And I hear your point, and I think there's some validity to it. But keep in mind, you've got Ned out there and other Democrats trying to cover up what's actually going on at this moment, that they're the cause of this. Ned is pretending that he's a social justice warrior. And people who aren't sophisticated about politics might be naive enough to believe him when he does that.
And I agree with you, but you know what? Ned Lamont is a Democrat, and I don't expect Ned Lamont to take the higher road, but I expect my president, a Republican, to take the higher road, because that's what we usually do.
All right, well, that's fair enough. You know, it is Donald Trump, so it's best to lower your expectations in terms of doing what the conventional thing is. But you've got a right to that opinion, I'll tell you. 860-522-9842. More coming your way on WTIC. Yeah, I don't. I'm fine with criticizing Trump. That's fine. I mean, political parties are enemies to democratic systems by definition, and what the people do who rule the democratic parties is join in that enemy status, and Trump does his share of that. There's no question he does. I support a bunch of stuff that he's done and he does, and I'm also appalled with a bunch of stuff he's doing, like the bailout of states that he's considering, and I think he'll probably do, and the bailouts that have happened already. I think he's got no hesitation to spend us into oblivion in order to get himself reelected, for example. 860-522-9842. Joe in Harwinton. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing? I guess, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you've touched on it or not, but, you know, with all these quote-unquote corrupt police departments, what do they all have in common? You know, they're all
They've
in
got unions.
Well, unions, but also Democrat and Democrat-run cities. So if these leaders are complaining, you know, and again, I don't believe all of them are corrupt, but if these leaders are complaining that the police departments are corrupt, they just look in the mirror, because they've been in charge of it for decades. They've had decades to
Well, that's
it.
True. That's true, but unfortunately, the way the political game works is that you have these fraudulent leaders who can pretend they know how to trick voters into thinking that they feel their pain, and that feeling that they transmit transcends the obvious reality that you're describing, Joe.
Exactly. And you know, there's been the debate, you know, destroying personal property versus the government property. You know, I think all of it is wrong. But, you know, people are saying, well, it's not that bad if they just burn the police department down. Well, what they don't take into consideration is that they just pretty much not only destroy the police department, but pretty much any evidence of any kind of crime that, you know, that people were seeking justice for. You know, including body
cams. Wait a
sec.
How about that? How about the money for everything comes from us? So it doesn't matter whether you're born, if you're burning down a corner store or you're burning down a police station, whatever it is, you're destroying the property of the people. You are destroying our ability to function as a society. Thank you, sir, for the call. Bill in Florida, what's up?
Yes, I wanted to comment regarding the shutdowns of the interstates via the protest. God forbid.
Isn't that appalling?
It's unbelievable. If you were in my car and you're having a heart attack and I'm trying to get you to the hospital, what would I have done? And on top of that, I understand the state police were out there giving the protesters bottles of water on I-95.
They blocked the highway on their behalf. I don't understand this. Those people should be dragged away and arrested. Well, I do understand it. It's because they're afraid of what they've created. They've created expectations that are so twisted, Bill, and they've nurtured anti-Americanism, and they've nurtured an environment of violence because they nurture this frustration from having created a system that doesn't work.
Unfortunately, I think the stage has been set. Connecticut is hitting a point of no return. I'm a lifelong resident. I moved out a few years ago. When you combine the sanctuary cities, the powers of the union, and the current government, the Democrats, and it goes back to the last 40, 50 years, there's an economic wrecking ball coming that no one is even talking about very loudly up there yet. The problems are just beginning for the state of Connecticut due to the stage set years ago.
Hopefully that's not true, but it's possible. You're right, Bill. Hopefully it's getting bad enough that even the most disengaged and disinterested voters can see the obvious corruption and the obvious disgraceful condition of our politics.
Today is Sunday, a day of reflection. Tomorrow's Monday. We get up and fight for justice all over again.
Democrats who control the areas where the injustice happens, they're going to get up. The richer they are, the tougher they're going to get up and all of a sudden start fighting for this justice that they refuse to implement through the decades. The hypocrisy, I think, is obvious enough. So even the most ordinary and disengaged person, even the ones they drag to vote who have no interest in voting, can maybe see. Maybe we're getting to that point.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.